Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now, just as he does every single Tuesday, it is Mariners manager Scott Service. Skip, that was an incredibly fun ending to the game last night. Everyone I know had so much fun watching it. It was so fun to see their faces. I have to imagine the energy being out there with them was just something to experience.
Yeah, it was an awesome finish to that game yesterday, and we've been playing good baseball here recently. It's been fun to see the young guys step up and the energy they have, and they're learning, they're growing, they're getting better, and like I said, we're playing good baseball. It's been fun.
Scott, kind of along those lines, we're not just talking about, you know, one game. We're talking about the better part of over a week, almost 10 days right now. And I got to wonder, just kind of what kind of magic did you impart in that team meeting in San Diego?
No, I wish you could just sprinkle the magic dust and everything would be good all the time. I wish it was that easy. But it's a great effort, you know, by our players, all of them, you know, our veteran guys, our younger guys, understanding, you know, in this league, nobody's ever going to feel sorry for you. You know, it's very competitive. The best in the world are out there every day. And we didn't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, we'd lost some key players to the COVID issue. We've had some other key guys go down with injury. So, you know, it was an opportunity, you know, to step up and just go out and try to do your job. Play your game. Don't try to do too much. Don't make up for the guy who's not there right now because of injury. Just do what you're capable of doing. And if we do that, we're going to be okay. And you know, we've played a lot of close games. We're very competitive. We're in a lot of these games. And fortunately, we're getting some clutch performances late in these games. We're getting big hits. You know, Donnie Walton hits his first major league homer yesterday. We got, you know, Tom Murphy comes up with a big at-bat late in the game, as Ty France did. So everybody's contributing. That's what makes it so fun.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, we saw what the team was doing. We saw the losses that you took as far as personnel goes. But what was it that you saw that said, okay, today is the day that we need to talk?
Well, I think, you know, we were coming off a rough series there in San Diego. And San Diego was playing very well at the time. You know, Tatis was tearing it up. He'd just come back from about 10 days off with his COVID issue, so he was fresh, and he was really all over the joint. We couldn't stop him, and it just had one of those feelings that day that we kind of needed to group up as a team. And that happens three or four times throughout a year. You can't do it every game, or after every loss, I should say. It just doesn't work. But there are certain points in the season you do have to kind of rally the troops and let them know that, you know, we're going to stay consistent. We're going to stay with the plan. The plan is here to get a lot of young players a ton of exposure, experience. Along the way, we're going to get better because we're going to learn from each other and we're going to grow together. So, you know, I'm glad we're playing the way we are. Our players are certainly enjoying it. They're looking forward to coming to the ballpark every day, and we got a chance to get better every day.
You know, Skip, you talk about Fernando Tatis coming back from his injury or his time off. Well, Ty France, not necessarily coming back in the same way Tatis did versus you guys, but he certainly has been a nice addition back to the lineup. What has he meant to you guys?
Ty can really swing the bat. And, you know, he went in a little bit of a funk before he went down, and part of it was driven by the injury. You know, he got hit by a pitch in the forearm, and a bunch of the swelling kind of went down into his hand and, you know, created some other issues. He just wasn't right, and I give him a ton of credit. He was trying to play through it, trying to do the best he could with what he had to go out there every day. But it was forcing him to maybe do some things in the batter's box that he typically doesn't do and swing at some pitches he doesn't swing at. And, you know, just obviously wasn't getting the results he wanted. So, you know, taking the 10 days off, coming back, he feels completely healthy. And I think he's done a nice job at first base filling in over there as well. So it's great to have him in our lineup. We certainly need him. He's clutch. He has ability to drive in runs, and we need those guys.
Scott, I hate to bring up bad news, but it just came up across both the social media and the email. It looks like Kyle Lewis has been placed on the IL with a torn meniscus. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, Kalu, kind of a funky play yesterday. He was trying to, you know, run down that ball in the gap there in about the eighth inning and felt, you know, something in his knee when he landed, kind of jumped awkwardly for it. And so we took him out of the game right away, and he had that checked on this morning, very early MRI, and it was determined he does have a very small meniscus tear in his right knee. So I'm not exactly sure how long he's going to be out. Is it a scope type surgery thing? I'm not sure yet. We'll find out here more today.
I'm just going to add some news for listeners that Taylor Trammell, in another move, has been recalled from AAA Tacoma. Marco Gonzalez obviously activated from the 10-day IL, just as a heads up to everyone. Scott, I want to quickly talk about Donovan Walton. It was a really cool moment. I loved his quote about it, just in a more positive note. The feeling of, I think it was, he just said, like, I wasn't thinking. I saw the right fielder stop running, and I couldn't feel anything, right? He's just running the bases. I don't know if you can remember your first home run, but what's that moment like for a player, whether when you experienced it or when you talked to them about it?
Yeah, I think everybody remembers their first major league homer. I remember mine. I had to wait a long time to get it, but I do remember it. It was on a day game, kind of like yesterday's game for Donnie. But you know, really excited for him. Donnie's he's a baseball player, and I think the more our fans get a chance to see him play, he has a great baseball IQ. You know, he was raised in a baseball family. His dad's been played professional baseball. He's been a long time, very successful college coach. He's over at Oklahoma State now, but you know, Donnie knows the game in and out. You know, and he continues to get better. And as we give him opportunities, you know, filling in for Demo over there at second base, we put him in the outfield. He came up as a shortstop, so he can kind of play all over the field. But he's made some adjustments to his swing here in the last year and a half. The ball's jumping off a little bit better. He got a breaking ball up in the zone yesterday, and you know, really excited for him. He's great in the clubhouse. Guys have kind of nicked him. He's our Rudy. He's the guy that everybody's all over, has a good time with, and Donnie really takes it well. He can give it right back as well as taking it.
That's awesome. Skip, you know, everybody was looking at the ending of that game and looking at pitch hit opportunities, and everybody was wondering, oh, man, are we going to see Mitch Haniger out there? We ended up not seeing him. Was that a hard set rest day that you had for him? And in those moments, is it hard to look over there at Mitch Haniger and go, man, we got this guy, you know, sitting out today?
Oh, it is hard. There's no question, but I do think we need to be – we're playing the long game here, and I've often talked about that with our team and where we're at in the season coming off of last year, and certainly Mitch's case. He didn't play at all last year, and he's been out for so long. So there are certain days where he just needs to be down, and we stay away. Now, I say all that, and, you know, we were run out of players yesterday, so if something would have happened where we had another injury and we had to put him into the game, you know, I would have done that. But leading up to that, it's just one of those days. It's really important to give those players, and certainly a guy like Haney, you know, coming back from what he came back from last year and with as well as he's been playing, he needs the down days. And, you know, we're fortunate enough, we didn't have to get him in the game yesterday, and we still won it.
Scott, one of the things that I've really enjoyed over the last week is, and you talk about everything that your team is doing together, and they're the names that we've been following for so long, but it's those that have stepped up, and we've had the chance, they're new to the club, and they see an opportunity in front of them. We've had the chance to talk with a couple of them, and just what's really coming through from just guys like Donovan Walton, guys like Zamora, who we saw the other days, guys like Santiago, like Nottingham, all of these guys, and Campbell, when he was up, you have the conversation with them. They're embracing the opportunity, and they've been a part of it too.
They really have. And, you know, throughout the course of a major league team, you know you're going to need guys that step up and fill certain roles because of injury. Never in our wildest dreams did we expect that we need so many so early. I got to be honest with you. It's going on throughout the league. There have been certain teams that have been hit extremely hard. I know the Mets have been hit hard. The Dodgers were hit hard. I don't know if anybody's been hit as hard as we have, but again, we've been hit. We're still standing. You know, we'll try to deal with the loss of Kyle Lewis, but it has created some opportunities for other guys to step up. And again, you're just trying to put those guys in a good spot and where they're at mentally and try to keep them fresh. And, you know, it is their chance. They have a little crack in the window is open for them to seize an opportunity. And a number of these guys really have. I talk about our bullpen guys all the time, Paul Sewald, you know, what Shaggy, JT Chargois has done to fill in those roles as we've lost key guys has been huge for us. And we're going to continue to lean on him. You know, it's nice to see Keenan Middleton throwing the ball the way he has. We're going to need him at the end of games. So that's just where we're at as a club. Everybody comes into park every day. They may not know exactly what role they're going to fill, but they know they're going to have play some part in that game that night.
You know, when you look at length of season, and I think what the ultimate goals are for this team, it's about length of season, and it's about taking steps forward. And to me, it feels like you guys took a major step forward in the last 10 days. I'm wondering if you can put that into words. And also, here we sit on June 1. What do you want to see in the next 30 days?
Well, for me, I mean, I just want to see us continue to grow. And you've heard me talk about this. Get 1%, 2% better in the different things that you do. And each individual player does that. And if we look up cumulatively what that'll create for our ball club, we're going to be okay at the end of the year. Now, what does okay mean? I'm not one to put wins and loss numbers out there. I just don't believe in it. You know, you take the moment in time we're in right now, and things are going pretty well. We're having some things go our way. We're playing very aggressively, and it's working out awesome. Understand over the course of a long season, it'll slip again. We'll go through a period for 4 or 5 days where we will struggle. But you really need to be consistent and consistent in your work, how we prepare, you know, how we talk about our opponents, the adjustments that we're trying to make, whether it's offensively or with our pitching staff or defensively, being as consistent as you can, you know, with our programs over time will lead to the results we're looking for. So I really believe in it. I know our coaching staff does as well, and that's what we're really dialed into here. And I think it's the best thing for young players. Young players want to know what to expect when they come to the ballpark every day, know what they're going to get from the manager and the hitting coach and the pitching coach, and I think our guys know what they're going to get. You know what I mean? And for me as a young player, I look back at my career, that's all I wanted. You know what to expect when I get to the ballpark, know what's expected of me, you know, when the game starts, and then let the chips fall after that.
You know, Skip, you talk about young guys making improvements, 1 to 2% type of improvements. Well, Logan Gilbert had a pretty big improvement yesterday, gets his first quality start. What did you see from him, and what did you see from his performance that really stood out to you?
I thought Logan was outstanding yesterday, and it really stood out for me the last couple innings that he was out there. You know, he had a rough early inning earlier in the ball game, was able to work through it, and but I thought the last couple innings, ton of confidence, totally in control, and he does appear to be one of those guys that, you know, he probably knew that sixth inning was going to be his last inning yesterday. He sees the finish line, and he goes after it. He's not trying to hope his way through it. He puts the pedal down and really hammers on it, knowing that I'm going to do everything I can to get my team six innings of strong pitching today, and that's what he did yesterday. But huge step forward for him, and he's a guy I'm really excited to see as the season does move along. He's going to continue to learn and just get better every time out there.
So, Skip, was that the plan for him to go six innings yesterday? Because some people were looking at the fifth inning and wondering and thinking maybe that was going to be the last inning for him on the day. Shannon's holding up her hand saying she thought it was maybe her. She thought the same thing. But what did you see from him that made you say, nope, he's got one more inning to go, or was it just part of the plan?
No, going into the game, you're hoping for five or six, depending on how his pitch count. His pitch count was in check. There was no issues there, you know, if he had enough, you know, gas in the tank, so to speak. But then you're watching how the other hitters on the club are adjusting. Are they on his stuff? Is he getting better? Does he look stronger? Is he more confident? Is he executing, sequencing of pitches better? And he was. As the game went on, I thought it got continued to get better. And, you know, I thought, you know, I think the sixth inning was only a seven or eight pitch inning. There's even some that said, well, you're running back out there for the seventh. And I said, oh, let's tap the brakes on that a little bit. Let's give him six strong innings today. Felt good getting out of there. And unfortunately, we weren't able to hang on to the win for him, but he did his job. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, Skip, no doubt. I felt the same thing. I wish he could have got the win for him, but he'll get that eventually. The question that I was reminding myself that I had to ask you, what went into that decision in terms of going to Tom Murphy at the end of the game? I mean, Jose Godoy, he'd been swinging the bat okay. I thought he's had a really good chance. Was he giving you the crazy eye look in the dugout? Is that what made you go to him? What was going on there?
No, if you remember that, I think it was the eighth inning, Jake Fraley hit a two-out double, and Godoy was coming up after him, and it was Jake Diekman that was out there. And Diekman is one of the tougher lefties in our league. He's got a ton of experience. Murphy actually faced him over in Oakland about 4 or 5 days ago. I thought he had a really good at-bat against him. He ended up walking. But in that situation, I thought it'd be worth giving Murphy a shot. Unfortunately, he didn't come through in that at-bat, but he certainly did come through the next time up in the 10th inning. And big confidence boost for Murph. You know, that crazy face he makes. He's been making it a few times around here. It usually happens after good things happen. So it was all good. It was a lot of fun. Murph's got a ton of energy, and And the guys kind of thrive off of that because he does keep them loose. He's not afraid to call somebody out, that's for sure.
I think he's going to be kind of like the poster for anybody who tells people, oh, you should smile more. Sometimes maybe you shouldn't. Things happen.
Yeah, he's embraced that. Yeah, he really is. And, Murphy, he's very intense. When things don't go his way in a ball game, you probably need to stay away from him. I think I made the mistake yesterday. I thought he had a really good at-bat in the eighth inning. He just ended up striking out, and I kind of tapped him on the leg as he was running out to catch. And I reminded myself, don't ever touch him. When he gets mad, you don't want to touch him. So I kind of messed up there, and I'm sure he'll mention something to me today about it, like stay away from me.
I have no doubt you've done Zooms with him. You have seen the bears in his house. I would be very careful. There's no question about that.
Be careful there. That's for sure.
Hey, speaking of intense, so we would be remiss if we didn't ask. Just give us an update on Kelnick and where he is right now.
Yeah, I think Jared is, I thought his at-bats yesterday were really good. He laid off a lot of really close pitches. He walked a couple times. I thought during the ninth inning had a pivotal part in the game, chance to get maybe that big knock to put us over the top. Really good at-bat against a veteran pitcher, and the guy made a heck of a pitch against him. It happened. So, Jared, he brings so much to the ball game, and I think everybody gets caught up in, what he's doing. In the batter's box, what's the batting average look like? If you watch yesterday's game, he made a really good play in left field and a ball over his head, recording out there. He stole a base. He was on the move for a second stolen base when Lewis hit a double and scored on that ball easily, which is not easy to do. I mean, this kid can really move on the bases. So it's more than just a bat, and that's what we're seeing starting to play out. Understand that, Kyle Lewis is going to be out for a while. Jared Kelnick's going to play center field for us, and he's going to do a great job out there. He can really play defense. There's a lot of things going on in his game, and the bat is going to come. There's no question in my mind. I know everybody wants to see young players get off to a hot start, but it's more normal that they start off slow than they start off hot. So he's going to get it going. I got a ton of confidence in him. We really believe in him, and, he will be playing center field tonight.
All right. He is skipper Scott Service. Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to see Marco get back tonight, and we're excited to watch you guys again. We hope it's a fun one for y'all.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Take care.
Bye. All right. This hour of Jake and Stacy, by the way, is brought to you by the Pro Club. Shannon,
yes.
Let's go ahead and jump back into that injury there with Kyle Lewis. You have Lewis being sent 10-day IL with a torn meniscus. Now, Scott did say partially, or that it's a small tear. What's your level of concern, personally?
Well, I think we've got to hear a little bit more. There's obviously concern because that is the same knee where he had the problems before. So it's a tough injury to see him deal with again, and we're just going to have to see what that requires as far as rehab, or if it requires a surgery and go from there. But I mean, it's clear that he's going to be out for some time, and you just hope that he can get that back to 100%, because we have seen what he can do when he is 100%.
Yeah, gosh, it's such a bummer. It's such a bummer for him. It just feels like he was just starting to really get into a groove, Shannon, in terms of the way that he was swinging the bat. It wasn't necessarily hitting with the same power that we saw last year, but getting consistent hits, right? Getting on base. I mean, that was a very positive thing, and now it also kind of puts into the wrench of the plans of, if there was any plans whatsoever of Mitch Haniger during the trade deadline, if Lewis is out for any significant time, does that hinder that at all in your mind?
Well, Trammell comes up. You have Fraley as well. So I think that they're in better outfield shape than they've been in a long, long time. And I think you know what I think about. I think with Mitch Haniger, you would have to be blown away by what is offered to you. I don't know that you can get enough for him right now. And I don't think it certainly would be early. I think it would be late. So I don't know if that throws a wrench into it. But, I mean, it just goes to say, because the question I get more than anybody, if somebody gets hurt, what's going to happen when they get back? We've got too many players. You have never got too many pitchers. And for the Mariners, they've never got too many outfielders. It was just absolutely, I couldn't believe it. For yesterday, you were saying, finally, four true outfielders on the roster. That didn't last a whole game.
Right.
The other news there, obviously, and we touched on it here, being Trammell being called up from AAA Tacoma. He has had a phenomenal stretch of games with the Rainiers. I know that that's in the minors. Do you think, I know you've been tracking it. You haven't been able to obviously get out there and watch every game because you're covering the Mariners in person, right?
One person, two places
at once. Yeah. But do you get the feeling in seeing that development that he's been able to address any of those things, or is this just still a learning curve for him?
Here's the thing. I think that the divide right now between AAA and the big leagues is bigger than it has ever been. Mm. And we also don't know what's going on with the baseballs down there. So throw that in there as well. I think they are still using the 2019 baseball in AAA. They have an allotment that they need to get through, and then they go through the 2020 ones that they didn't use last year. So who knows what's going on there? He obviously is not facing the pitching that they are facing every day, day in and day out in the big leagues, and that obviously is the separator. But I'll say this. I think that Taylor is a very smart individual. He is very hitter smart. He knows his swing. He knows what he wants to do. He works, and I think as much as anything, I think confidence played a huge part in that. And, you know, they needed him up to play center field, and I love the way that they boosted him. And when they sent him down, Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto both said, you know, he did us a huge good stepping in to center field at the last minute.
And he did.
And he did. He absolutely did. So I think that with the, with the opportunity to take a step back, slow things down, get away from the big stage, I think as much as anyone, I think he could do as much with that as anyone else. So, you know, I have a lot of confidence in the player and knowing what he's doing, but he simply hasn't been up there facing what he was facing before.
You know, Shannon, one of the things that was so positive out of so many things yesterday was the start of Logan Gilbert. I mean, the finish of that game overshadowed a monumental moment for one of your young star pitchers of the future, hopefully. What did you see from him in his performance, and how key was it for him to have this day? I mean, it's to me, it seems like it would be a huge relief, you know, almost like getting a monkey off your back type of performance.
Probably. I don't think he is the most emotional pitcher out there. He's very analytical. He very much breaks things down, and he talks about actually having two totally different personalities. He's one guy on the hill and somebody totally – he is as laid back as can be off the hill and on the hill. He is as intense a competitor as you are going to see, although you don't often see it. It's more inside than it is outward. But I think, you know, it was great to see that, and he learned his first few outings. Doesn't matter if I'm throwing 96. If it's in the middle of the plate, it's going to get hit. So you saw him using the edges a little bit. You saw him using the corners a little bit, definitely having more success. You're going to need to see more of the secondary stuff. But you also saw him, and I love the post-game comments, in that he was acknowledging, yeah, I got work to do on this, and I've got work to do on that. Of course he does. He's only made, what, 5 starts between AAA and the big leagues so far this year? It's still very early, and that comes after not pitching last year. So to see him take a legitimate step forward, to see him flash some of the upper velocities up on the board as well, to see him not afraid to throw the secondary pitches and introduce them early, still want to see more of that changeup. He's still not throwing that yet, but he's got a lot on his plate right now. And then to see him finish as strong as he did, a 7-pitch, 1-2-3, 6th inning,
yep.
Very impressive.
Shannon,
against
the
A's.
We're up against the clock, but I didn't get a chance to ask Scott, so I'm going to ask you, what's the latest with Evan White?
I need to ask Scott that today. I actually saw him out on the field yesterday. He was taking infield work before the game, and I know he's hitting in the cages. So the big question now is, does he get a rehab start or does he come right back?
Well, at Shannon Dreher on Twitter, that's where you can follow her, and she'll have that information later today.
And you always ask what I have coming up.
Yes.
And tomorrow is an incredibly special day in baseball. It will be Lou Gehrig Day across the league, and it is one of only 3 days that they have for an individual, Jackie Robinson, Roberto Clemente, and now Lou Gehrig Day. And, of course, it benefits ALS and ALS awareness. And this is a disease that has touched a number of players on the Mariners and in the Mariners organization. We'll hear about that throughout the pregame show, as well as on My Northwest or 710sports.com tomorrow.
Again, that was 710sports.com. Get the latest from Shannon. Follow her at Shannon Dreher for that as well. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you, guys.
She's the 710 ESPN Seattle Mariners insider.
The best.
One and only, the very best. NFL headlines coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
When I say the word swag, you probably think of Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, right? Everyone does, right? That's what you do? No, you don't? Well, then you must not
McCorkle
be Kendrick
Jones, dripping with swag.
Absolutely. McCorkle Jones, swag. He has, this is what Kendrick Bourne, Patriots wide receiver, says, he has swag to him that I didn't know he had at first. He's out here confident, and it's what you need in a quarterback. Good energy, awesome guy, comes to work, and you can just feel his energy and leadership already. Now, I actually think that Jones is probably a good fit for the Patriots. Like, I think that that makes more sense for him than he did with the 49ers, per se. I still don't know what the Patriots are going to look like. Patriots post Tom Brady, I don't know what to expect from them anymore.
Right. It's hard. And Bill Belichick in that little article that was in there saying that Cam Newton right now is without a doubt our number one guy. And that right now the leadership, the energy, everything that he brings to the table, being in year two in the playbook, he's definitely got the upper hand in this competition, but that Mac Jones is doing a good job and where he's at. So really what I anticipate at this point right now, until we see training camp, until we see preseason games, is that Cam Newton, all likelihood is that he's going to start the year. And if his shoulder, if his arm deteriorates the way that we saw last year, you're going to see Mac Jones eventually be the starter here for the New England Patriots at some point in time. I fully anticipate that being the case. It's just a matter of how soon is really the question. But when you have somebody like Mac Jones, you know, him talking about having swag and this and that, not something that comes to mind, but when you're in Alabama and you're taking post-game pictures with a cigar in your mouth, maybe you got some extra confidence to go along with that,
I guess.
Maybe it's something that people weren't expecting from bad body McCorkle Jones.
Bad body McCorkle Jones, you're not Joe Burrow. Get that cigar out of here. another rookie quarterback making headlines, but it's not for something he's saying. It's for something that's being said about him. So this is a story about Justin Fields, but former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler was interviewed for a Chicago sports radio station, and they said, would you start Justin Fields this year over Andy Dalton? He said he wouldn't. He said, I would not play the kid to start. That's where I'd start. I'd let him watch. I think it's just a tough spot to throw someone out there, especially in Chicago. I think Andy Dalton is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and just kind of pull the ship along until Fields is ready.
Well, I agree with the sentiment from Jay Cutler that there's no rush to start Justin Fields if you're the Bears. Now, does he need to be the starter in year one at some point in time? Yes. I believe you need to see Justin Fields out there on the field at some point this season. It can't be Andy Dalton that's your quarterback for this year. Andy Dalton can get you by, and I think he can absolutely, like Jay Cutler said, be a serviceable quarterback, but he's not going to help you get to the promised land by any stretch. I don't think he's going to help you get to the playoffs per se. Look, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, their job's on the line. They need to show promise. They need Justin Fields out there on the field. But the biggest key that I think Jay Cutler is referring to here is don't rush him just for the sake of getting him out there on the field. Play him when he is ready, and you have the perfect stopgap quarterback in Andy Dalton to get that done.
The Texans, for some reason, have signed former Patriots running back Rex Burkhead to a one-year deal. This now brings their total of running backs to seven
oh,
running backs.
Word.
Now, it's not weird to
what
have...
do you need that many
I don't
for?
Know. It's not weird to have a lot of one position group heading into camp if, say, you want like a battle there. Like, don't forget, last year we were making fun of the Seahawks for having like 20 offensive linemen, and it became a
yes.
joke. Like, oh, they signed a new player. Guess which position he plays. I guess just that the Texans are so dysfunctional and seem so lost that everything they do feels like a mistake.
Well, if you're not going to have...
Everything they do is bad.
The reality is, though, that we don't know what Deshaun Watson's situation is going to be. I mean, he very easily could be suspended for multiple games during the year. He could be suspended for the entire year. I mean, we still have to see how his legal situation continues to develop. But maybe they're just loading up on running backs. If Deshaun Watson isn't able to play, Stacey, they're going to have a great
that's
running game.
That's what it is. They're like, we don't need a quarterback. We got
that's
two
right.
halfbacks.
We're gonna,
that's
we're
more
get
than
into
a quarter.
The, we're going to get into the T, you know, we're going to get into the wing T, the wishbone. I don't know. We're going to find a way to get as many running backs on the field as possible.
You know what's weird about it? It's not like they have no names. And that sounds really mean. But it's not like they have guys that are like undrafted rookie free agents that came in and they're just looking to get healthy guys in there. They signed Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson. David Johnson, I totally forgot he was there. It's part of the worst trade ever. So they've got guys that are going to be expecting that they are the number one back.
Actually, now that I think about it, Rex Burkhead would be the perfect wing T quarterback in the NFL. Maybe that's the direction that they're going. I'm really sold on this idea. David Coley is he can't count on Deshaun Watson at this point, so he's got to think. Got to think ahead. He's got to be innovative. Let's bring back the wing T.
What a mess out there in Houston. Big Ben is approaching the season like all others. He says it's as if it's going to be his last. Here's the thing, though, Jake. I think this will be his last season. He just looked at times last year that he was just done. Like, it's just the end of the road for him. I think it's why a lot of people expected the Steelers to potentially part ways with him. Obviously, he's coming back for another season. I'll say this, though. I am surprised that Cincinnati isn't favored more over the Steelers. I think that the Steelers really needed to fix that offensive line. Instead, went with a running back, which I'm fine with. Everyone loves Najee Harris. But I think that they've got some real problems there. And Ben Roethlisberger, inching toward the later stages, the twilight of his career, is not helping them.
What are you talking about, Stacey? Didn't you see that practice video of Ben Roethlisberger just ripping 30-yard, he's playing catch and just ripping it from 30 yards away? I mean, it's actually not true. He was just like lightly tossing it 30 yards away, and somebody was trying to act like Ben Roethlisberger is back to his original form. He's healthy. He's ready to go. You're right. They do have problems, and I think until the Steelers are able to move on from Ben Roethlisberger at this point in time, I think they're going to be stuck. Now, can they win games with their defense? Can they win games with Ben Roethlisberger? Yes, but I don't believe that they're going to be a legitimate playoff caliber team, meaning that they get into the playoffs and have a serious run at this thing with Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback. We saw this with Drew Brees the last couple seasons. He really deteriorated as the season wore on, and we saw that really for the first time very glaringly last year with Roethlisberger.
All right, get your questions in right now for What I Need to Know on the Mac and Jacks text line 710-710. Seahawks, Mariners, anything, whatever it is, text it now to 710-710. What I Need to Know coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions into the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. Let's start with this one. We got a Seahawks question from the 425. I need to know, will Stone Forsythe be the future starter at left tackle? Jake, I'll let you go.
I believe that he is in position to potentially be that, but let's just say that Dwayne Brown has an excellent season in this new offense. I could very easily see and write you a script that Dwayne Brown becomes the next Andrew Whitworth and plays till he's 39 years old. So I believe that Dwayne Brown is going to determine that situation. I do, however, see a possibility of him becoming the right tackle of the future if Dwayne Brown was to stay over the next few years and Brandon Shell is on his last year of his contract. I could see that potentially happening. But Stone Forsythe really has to show his ability to get better in the running game and show that he's not just a pass protector or a finesse pass protector, that he can take on some of these bull rushes that he's going to face, not just the speed, the edge, because I think that he can handle that pretty well in terms of his size and his length with the development of Mike Solari. So those two things are going to be something that I'm looking forward to hearing about his progress and his development. But I really believe that he could be the right tackle of the future.
From the 253, should Kelnick be put down in the order? It's not like he's not hitting like a leadoff batter. You know what I think to that is? I just think if you think he's not hitting like a leadoff batter and you want to get him some extra work, I would just send him. You know what I mean? Like, just send him down then. Like, I'm not sure that moving him down in the order does significantly more for him than would just sending him back down. Well, that's where I'm at right now. I might change my mind. Yeah. Right now in this moment, that's where I'm at.
Reason for that being is because you want to give him as many at-bats as possible, right? That's the whole point of a leadoff guy. The thought of the leadoff hitter has completely changed from even 10 years ago, right? Ichiro was, he is the modern-day perfect leadoff hitter in the sense that he could do it all. He's got speed, but the biggest thing is that he gets on base. He's your best hitter, whereas now... And in the past, your leadoff guy was a guy that was speed. It was speed and on-base percentage. It wasn't necessarily a guy that you that was a power hitter. He would be in the 3-4 spot. Now, the way that they look at it is we want to get our best hitters as many at-bats as possible. That's why you saw Mitch Haniger be your leadoff guy, right? The first two spots in the order are almost more important or more coveted now in Major League Baseball than the 3 or 4 spot of old. So... that part of it is a definite transition, and a big reason why is that he's leading off is not just because they think he's a perfect fit for that, but it's because he needs the at-bats, and getting as many at-bats as possible is the key. So I agree. If you're thinking about moving him back in the order, might as well move him down and allow him be the leadoff guy down at the AAA level.
From the 253, Jake or Stacy, please settle this argument on the air right now so my buddies will understand. What they need to know, they in quotes, will Jamal Adams play a single snap this year without a new deal? I don't think Jamal Adams will hold out. I think hitting free agency is a great bit of leverage. He's going to be in his mid, he's going to be 26 at the start of free agency, should he hit it, I think, around there. No, I don't get the impression he would hold out if he didn't get a new deal, because playing and then hitting free agency gives you a ton of leverage.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is definitely not going to hold out. There's no reason for him to hold out at this point. I believe that he continues to carry all the leverage he needs and all the leverage that he wants, and that's not going to go away. And he can improve upon the year that he had this year and earn himself even more money down the road. So the incentive is there for the Seahawks to want to get this deal done with Jamal Adams this summer. I'm very surprised that we have not heard about the negotiation back and forth. I think that's a positive thing when it comes down to, you know, look back at Bobby Wagner and how his deal ended up going down. There was not a lot of conversation around it, yet it got done before training camp. And I believe that that's what's going to happen similarly with Jamal Adams. And I know people have been saying from the very beginning, from February, from March, you got to get this deal done with Jamal Adams. You got to get it done. But I believe it's always been the plan and always been of the mindset for the Seahawks that they're going to wait until the summer to really, truly work on the final pieces of the Jamal Adams contract.
I think that there is a 0% chance the Seahawks made this trade without knowing that they would have to pay a pretty penny to extend Jamal Adams. They knew that he would be coming in. They knew he would be needing a new deal. And they knew that they wanted to make him a guy that they kept around for a very long time. That's why you give up that much draft capital, the most they've ever given up in a trade. So I think that they knew exactly what would happen. As much as it was great to see him get all those sacks, it doesn't really help them because even though you can say he's poor in coverage, what gets you paid as a defender, as a defensive end, is usually that sack total. So a safety getting that, it still helps him in his case. So I also think, I always wonder, Jake, the team, I obviously don't know, but I would imagine the team that you're on is going to factor into whether or not you hold out. It is easier to want to hold out when you don't like coaching in management for the Jets versus when you're on a contender.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. And an organization that you feel appreciated by, right? You feel like you can be yourself. And as you've mentioned, a winning organization. Big, big difference. Ooh, Stacy, this is one. The 425, what I need to know? If you have to do without one of these for a month, what would it be? A toothbrush, deodorant, or soap?
Wait. If I have to do... Okay, my toothbrush. I'm not going a month without a toothbrush.
Okay.
I'll go a month without... So I can't use any soap at all?
No. Deodorant or soap.
Oh, that just feels unsanitary.
It's sanitary?
Unsanitary. I'm going without deodorant. Okay. I think I could do that without being just offensively smelly.
I fully agree with you. Toothbrush,
You need
I
it.
If anyone chooses toothbrush,
you're insane. You are an insane, disgusting person, probably with no teeth.
Or already have a ton of cavities already.
Yeah, you're like, how could it get worse?
That's right. My brother-in-law in UP is going perfect. Come right to me. But I'm thinking, look, definitely a toothbrush, deodorant or soap. Like, go and use the natural water around you to be able to rinse and wash. You know, you could get by.
Just with water, you need soap.
Yes.
No, Jake.
No, you don't. You could get by with just water. I wouldn't be able to get by without a toothbrush.
No, absolutely not. You need that toothbrush. All right, that'll do it for us today. That was what I need to know. Always love to end Jake and Stacey with that one. You guys have been awesome today. Thank you so much for listening and for participating in that final segment. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.